Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks, I appreciate it. So I got a lot of stuff going on here over the last week or so for the Buckos. Opening day is come and gone. And there's just something about opening day, getting that home opener. Wasn't the biggest crowd I've ever seen for a home opener. There were a lot of people there. And, you know, it's just nice to get out and watch baseball. This year I got to take my sons, 7 and 3, to their first Pirates game. We've done a couple minor league games as test runs. But man, they did a really good job. We made it to like the 8th inning and then had to go for a walk, and that walk just resulted in, you know, heading to the car. Aside from that, the Pirates have been decent. they're playing well at times. And then they're being, you know, the Pirates at times. And this is kind of, I think, where we're going to be this season. But before I get into all that, let's have a message from Anchor. So, you know, the Pirates, this is going to be a long year, right? And I think we all realize that. The Pirates don't have the best big league roster. They have a lot of guys they're still giving chances to. People that, you know, the clock's ticking on a lot of these guys. And so the Pirates are doing things, you know, Derek Shelton are trying to get at bats and get time to guys just to see, you know, what they can do. At some point, the clock's going to run out. But I do firmly believe that they need to be given some time and some chances. And those guys are Kevin Newman, Cole Tucker, Hoy Park. Michael Chavis. Those guys deserve looks. They've been highly touted in the past. We've seen flashes from Newman. Mainly 2019 was a really nice flash. And I haven't seen that since. So they're trying to figure out if that's still there. Cole Tucker, first round pick, has yet to put it together in the big leagues. They're trying him out all over the place. See what happens with him. Hoy Park, he's another one. Got him in the trade last year. He has some potential. They want to see, you know, how that plays out. And, of course, Michael Chavis, who has been fantastic so far this season. Horrible, just horrible in spring training. I knew in spring training that he would make the team based on his potential and the pop. Like, that's what he brings that the other guys don't. It's pop. Chavis so far has been the one of those guys of the four guys I've mentioned to really take advantage of this situation and this opportunity. Another guy who's going to jump the other ones he's playing a lot more is Diego Castillo. Back to Michael Chavis, you know, he's 26 years old. He got a look in Boston. Started out hot and then cooled off and then really didn't get the chances that he got, you know, in 2019. Obviously, 2020 was a year cut short, so you can kind of scrap that for pretty much everyone. But then, you know, last year for Boston, didn't really get a whole lot of chances. He only got 79 at-bats. And then came to Pittsburgh and did relatively well with the Pirates. But so far this year, you know, he's played in 7 games. He has 20 at-bats. He's hitting .450, right, with an OPS of 1.250. The guy goes all out all the time. What's nice about one of the things I like about Chavis this year, 2 strikeouts. In 20 at-bats, he struck out 2 times. That's not too bad. I think you're going to continue to see him, get at-bats and get the playing time, like I said, because of that pop, you know, and because he's hitting. I like Chavis over there at first base. I don't think you need to play Vogelbach at DH automatically all the time. I think, you know, him and Yoshi, you can kind of rotate around. Yoshi started out okay, really has kind of cooled off. I'm okay with Michael Chavis taking a bats from those two guys. Sasugo's ideally trade material. Ideally he comes in and, you know, he starts showing the power that he hasn't shown yet this year and that we're kind of expecting him to have. But Yoshi didn't perform in his other chances in the big leagues. You know, last year with the Pirates, he had a nice little run. You know, relatively small sample size. So, you know, he had 127 at-bats for the Pirates last year. .268 average, 8 home runs. Obviously, 29 at-bats, a lot less than 127, so there's still time. So we'll see what happens. I'm a firm believer in playing the hot hand. Right now, the hot hand is Michael Chavis and Diego Castillo. Those are the hot hands. So Chavis plays first, Castillo at second. Whoever you want to play at short, you can play. I want Newman to get some time. I think that there's still a productive major leaguer there, and I've said it a bunch. At some point, the time's going to run out for Newman. You know, Cruz is knocking on the door. Behind him, you've got Peguero. Behind him, you have several, you know, it's just going to be a constant run of people. So the clock's ticking. Then you throw in Josh Van Meter into that mix, also trying to get at bats. And I don't get it. Something's got to give. I am a firm believer. I want to see real outfielders, people who are skilled and only play outfield for the most part. I do like the utility guys. However, you know, the game last night, Cole Tucker couldn't get to that ball. It was a tough play. I'm not trying to knock Cole Tucker, but I believe like a real outfielder probably would have caught that. Or, you know, had a way better chance of taking a better route to that ball. So I don't understand what they're doing with Van Meter. It's here in a couple weeks. Their hand's gonna be forced a little bit, and they're gonna have to make some moves. Like, the roster is gonna decrease. You've got to shave 2 guys off. My personal opinion is you kind of start that now by shaving off Van Meter. You know, it sucks that you traded somebody for him and he wasn't just a straight up waiver claim. But he does not fit on this team. Maybe they could trade him. You know, maybe they can find some other team that would take him. for a prospect, or even Cash, or I don't know, but I would shave Van Meter off right now and bring up either Bly Madrese or Cal Mitchell. I think having a legitimate outfielder, and Cal Mitchell's been, both of them have hit pretty well in AAA. Bly Madrese had a great spring. I'd probably bring him up first, to be honest with you. If, you know, save Cal Mitchell and a little bit of service time, give Madrese a chance. Right now he's hitting .333 for Indy. He hasn't really cooled off since going down. Like, he's 26 years old. Why not? It's better than just parading the random guys out there. He is a lefty, so there is that kind of working against him a little bit. Because that is mainly why they didn't play, Ben Gamble last night, and any time that the matchup doesn't work. So bringing up another lefty, but you would at least see him out there more. Like, you'd at least see a real outfielder out there in the outfield. Cal Mitchell would be on the opposite side of that. But again, you're looking at losing some service time. Actually, Mitchell's a lefty. I don't know what I'm thinking. He's lefty too. So you got a bunch of lefties. But I'd rather see them than Cole Tucker out there in the outfield. And I'm not like an anti-Cole Tucker guy. Like, I'm really not. Like, I like Cole Tucker. I think there's a serviceable major leaguer in there, maybe not a starter. He's athletic. At some point, he's going to have to produce, obviously. But I'm not anti-Cole Tucker, but I am overseeing him in the outfield. I'm over it. So, first thing I do, get rid of Van Meter, bring up a real outfielder. That only temporarily solves the problem. When you get closer to when you have to cut down, I think Hoy Park's the guy. I really think Hoy Park has options. Hoy Park, I don't see Hoy Park being quite as versatile, I guess, as Tucker. As I say that, it sounds crazy. As I just said, I don't want Tucker in the outfield, but I'd probably take Hoy Park in the outfield. But if you have a real outfielder, another outfielder there, then that's kind of a moot point. But Hoy Park hasn't shown me enough in his time in the big leagues. But I don't know. He has options. You can send him down pretty easily. The other things going well, the standard, Hayes has been playing very well. Reynolds been a little streaky. I do really like what I've seen out of Roberto Perez. A little bit of scare there with him taking that ball off the knee, but he's, back in, took a game off and was back in there. If he stays healthy, he could be a trade chip down the road, but I'm going to be honest, I'd be okay if they extended him. If he proves to be a little bit more durable than in the past, Perez is essentially this kind of the same guy as Stallings. Like, he calls a good game. He knows how to handle the staff. I'd be okay if they, you know, signed him for another year or two, or hold on to him until the end of the year, like they did, and, you know, and give him a new deal, re-sign him in the offseason like they did with Cecugo. The Pirates need a veteran presence behind the plate. There's nobody in AAA that is knocking on the door. Carter Binns is down in AA. He's not really setting the world on fire with his bat yet. You know, you're a couple years away from your more highly touted guys, like your Henry Davis and your, you know, Andy Rodriguez and guys like that. Abrahan, Gutierrez, another one. You're years away from them being ready. So unless they go out and acquire somebody, they need catching and they need, you know, they need it bad. You know, Knapp's been okay. I don't hate the Perez Knapp duo at the moment. It's kind of like you have to settle for it. But I mean, you know, the other Marincic has been good. I like that signing. He's a guy like I've looked at for a couple of years as being someone I could see being on this team. I like it. They are going to end up getting Anthony Alford back probably sooner rather than later. At that point, that's another option too. Like, that's another thing that's going to kind of push their hand. One of these middle infielders have to go. My first one, like I said, would be Van Meter, and I would do it now. You know, when Alford comes back, you know, if you have Madrid up, you can option him back down, right? He has options. If he, you know, I think one of the things that is, you know, with Alford, you know, for his sake, being able to stick, hurting his hand allowed him to be able to stick around. I really don't know if they would have moved forward with, you know, with him on the roster. Probably would have, but I really don't know. Because he was bad in spring training. But at some point, he's going to be ready to come back. You know, he's on a rehab assignment. He's been playing some games. You know, he's going to be ready. So maybe when he comes back, that's what triggers probably Park. They'll probably option somebody before they DFA Van Meter. You know, Hoy Park on the season's hitting .182. He's only had 11 at bats, so you know, I don't really see the point in, you know, just having him ride the pine while these other guys get at bats, when you can send him down and he can get more at bats. If you really picture him as being a part of this team, potentially moving forward. Other things that are going well. I like this bullpen. You know, I said yesterday on Twitter, a lot of people are all over Will Crow. And I've said for a while that I feel like Will Crow should be a reliever. He's got the stuff to do it. And now that he's there, he looks really good. But, you know, yesterday on Twitter, I said, you know, for all the credit and all the accolades and not really accolades, but all the praise that Will Crow's getting for his performance in the bullpen, there's other guys that are doing just, you know, almost just as well. Dylan Peters. You know, Dylan Peters pitched very, very well last night. You know, he's appeared in 3 games, 7 innings pitched. You know, he has two wins. You know, in that seven innings, he has walked four guys. But that's kind of Peters. Like, he battles, you know, and he misses corners. But he's given up four walks in his seven innings. Dylan Peters has yet to give up a hit. That's impressive. To have him and Will Crow be able to back up these starters, that's huge. And that's really, I think, how baseball's leaning. I think baseball's leaning to having, you know, your starters go four innings. You know, some teams have already started doing it. You look at, like, the Rays, you know, with their opener, and then, you know, some other things that they've tried. You know, these piggyback starters. You know, Will Crow and Dylan Peters give you two guys out of that pen that can go multiple innings. And they have some others. I mean, really, Yuhuri's out there. He can go multiple innings. Contreras is out there. He can go multiple innings. Now, you're probably not going to lean on them as much as you do Crow and Peters, because I think, especially Contreras, his future's in the rotation. But you've got, you know, Chris Stratton could go multiple innings if you needed him to. So, like, that this pen is really built to that. And another guy who has done very well so far is Anthony Bonda. You know, Bonda for the year, he's appeared in four games. He's kind of like, if they need a true one-inning guy, or, you know, a guy to come in with somebody on base, you know, they kind of seem to be going to Bonda a lot. In four games, he's got a 2.45 ERA. He's only given up one run, and that was on a homer to Suzuki with Chicago there on opening day. But 3 2/3 innings, four hits. He hasn't walked anybody, struck out five guys. So he's like the opposite of Dylan Peters a little bit. You know, giving up some hits, but he's not walking anybody. And that's key. Not that Bond has really been a big walk guy in his past. Like last year, in a combined 33 2/3 innings, he walked 13 guys. So that's not the worst by any means. But I like what he's been doing. A couple of those hits were crap. I will say, like, a couple of them were just, you know, fly balls that just happened to land where somebody wasn't, or in between two guys. He's not necessarily getting hit hard other than the homer. But, like, Bonda's been good. Bednar, of course, has been, you know, just as good as he was last year. Got himself into a little jam the other night. Got himself right out of it. You know, he's 4 2/3. He's given up a couple hits, couple walks, struck out four. Opponents are batting 133 against him. He hasn't given up a run. I mean, that seems to be Bednar's MO. So really hoping that that continues in that direction. You know, Heath Hembree's been fine. Aaron Fletcher, after, like, that initial blow-up on, the first game of the season, it's been solid. Really, I mean, he has, he's pitched, you know, relatively well, you know, as of late. You know, the first game against St. Louis, one inning, three hits, four runs, two homers, hit a guy. But since then, you know, he's pitched three more innings, hasn't given up a run, only walked one guy in those three innings, hasn't given up a hit in those three innings. Now, again, four innings is nothing to be necessarily worried about or get super excited about. But Fletcher's been okay. And I really think Fletcher is probably the odd man out. You know, as the roster gets cut down, you know, they're going to have to send somebody down. And I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised as Fletcher. Sam Howard is going to be back soon. I would imagine, you know, he comes back and they insert him into the pen. I'm not sold on Sam Howard. I like Anthony Bonda better at this point. I trust Anthony Bonda better at this point. Fletcher and Howard, I think Fletcher's the odd man out. I do. Unless they send down Contreras, which is also an option when either Howard comes back or they're forced to make that roster adjustment. Dwayne Underwood, I haven't heard much on Dwayne Underwood. I don't remember what's going on with him. I know he's dinged up, only on the 10 day. He will probably be back at some point here relatively soon. So there's another move that can be made, but they can send down Yuhure or Contreras to make that spot available. So the rotation. watching this rotation, I really think that in 2 years, I think only maybe one of these guys will still be in the rotation. Bryce Wilson has pitched okay. You know, Bryce Wilson in his two starts, 8 1/3 inning, 9 hits, 5 runs, giving up a home run in each of his starts, 4 walks, including 3 in his last outing against Washington, 4 Ks. I will say his first start was a really rough first inning, and then he looked pretty solid. I don't think Bryce Wilson has a bright future in this rotation. Will he end up being a Will Crow or a Dylan Peters type guy? Move to the pen and have some success. I don't know. I think that, you know, you give Wilson some chances, just like everybody else. See what he does. If it doesn't work, you got guys coming. So, Zach Thompson. Jury's still out on Zach Thompson. I like Zach Thompson based on what he did last year for Miami. This year, he again in 2 starts, 8 innings pitched, 11 hits, 8 runs, giving up 2 home runs. He's walked 5, struck out 8. And I will say, last night, I don't know how the Brewers weren't just teeing off on Thompson, because he was throwing low 90s heat. He was getting it up to the top of the zone or right out of the top and getting some swings on that. But, like, and then he started to get hit around, right? So, like, I think Thompson got kind of lucky early and then faded, and he faded fast. Jose Quintana. Jose Quintana doesn't have... He's not going to make it through the season with this team. I really don't think so. I think he's going to pitch well enough to get himself traded or bad enough to be let go. I highly doubt that he's on this team at the end of the year. But so far, he's been serviceable. I mean, really, the home opener, he pitched great. Gave up that 1 home run to Suzuki. You know, he 5 1/3 that game. He gave up 5 hits. couple walks, struck out three. Second game, four innings, five hits, again, three runs, three walks, two Ks. So I think the key for Quintana is to keep those walks down. But, hey, I mean, ERA is 3.86. If he hovers in there, you know, up, you know, between that and like four, four and a half, four and a quarter, somewhere in there, I think that's successful for Quintana. See what he does moving forward, but I don't think he'll be here long. Then that brings us to JT Brubaker. JT Brubaker is kind of a head scratcher. When he's bad, he's very bad. Like, very bad. Like, his first game, three innings, four hits, gave up four runs, including a homer. Walked three. And struck out two. The second game, four and a third, five hits, four runs, walked four, struck out five. He did, like, look better as that game went on. But, you know, I like JT Brubaker. I think he has good stuff. Just can't seem to command it very well. Brubaker is another guy who I could see moving into that reliever role. He throws a lot of pitches. Starter, he's not long for a game normally. Anyway, even if he is pitching well, I think Brubaker's probably the next guy to get moved to the pen out of the rotation. Unless he straightens it out. But, yeah. I don't see him being in this rotation when they contend. I lean towards giving Zach Thompson a good shot. But the guy that everybody is waiting for, and we've been waiting for, and want to know how much longer we have to wait for Mitch Keller to get it together. Mitch Keller has the stuff. That's never been an issue, is whether or not he has the stuff. He has it. Command just has not been there in his big league appearances. His numbers aren't good this year. I will say he's better than those numbers. He really is. He had a couple crap runs that he gave up, but still, he's still responsible for, you know, he's pitched 7 2/3 innings. He has a 9.39 ERA. 13 hits, 5 walks, has struck out 8. At what point is enough with Mitch Keller? It's obviously not going to be two starts into this season. They're not going to say, okay, Mitch, we're going to send you down or move you to the pen or whatever. He is, he's an enigma. Would a change of scenery do him good? Who knows? Probably with the, you know, but he's going to get more looks, and I think he deserves it. What else do the Pirates have, really? I mean, the rest of the rotation isn't great. If you really want to start, you know, getting rookies, and prospects into this rotation, like Contreras or Yhure or whoever, you have other guys you can pull out that don't have the ceiling that Keller has. Don't have the stuff and the potential that Keller has. But at some point it's going to run out. And I really think if he continues down the road that he's on and continues to pitch the way that he pitched this year, again, there's signs and people will, all over Twitter will jump on, you know, say, oh, well, he's looked a lot better. Yes, he does look a lot more confident. He doesn't get rattled as much, but the results are still kind of similar. So, yeah, if you want to move Contreras in, my opinion is Mitch Keller is not the guy you pull out of the rotation yet. I would yank Brubaker. I'd probably yank Brubaker. If you want to throw Yhure in there, Mitch Keller is not the guy you pull yet. I'm pulling probably Wilson. I think with guys like Brubaker and Wilson, you have a good idea of who they are. Some will argue you have a good idea of who Keller is. Look at his run here in the big leagues. True. But Keller's the type of guy that you continue to take chances on, because if it clicks, the payout is going to be way larger than those other guys. I'm giving, if I were Ben Cherington, and if I were Derek Shelton, I'm giving Mitch Keller, I'm giving him 2 months worth of starts. April, May. If the improvement is not there, I think you see what you have, see if there's anybody pushing. You know, if nobody's pushing, and, you know, Indy is kind of a mixed bag. There's some prospects there, but it's nothing, like, pitching-wise, now that Contreras and Yhure are up in the big leagues, there's nothing to get real excited about. Now, Kranick will be back at some point here from the injured list. So there's one guy you could look at. But other than that, the starters are not a super attractive group there in AAA. You're probably not going to bring up Bo Seltzer. You know, Chase DeYoung, maybe. One guy to watch, and I actually, there's two, the main guy to watch there is Cody Bolton. I'm also an Osvaldo Beto fan. I think he's got good stuff. He can be rocky. He started well last year and really kind of faded. I want to see what he does this year. So far, nothing incredible, but you know, Cody Bolton, he's the guy in AAA right now. You know, he is the best prospect, especially for pitchers. You know, he's pitched 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, walked 3, struck out 9. But you got to figure, like, this was his first year back after a couple years of not really pitching. So that's a decent line for a guy like that. We'll see. I like him better than most of the guys in the big league rotation right now. I think he has more potential than most of those guys. Outside of Mitch Keller, and you're just talking about potential with Mitch Keller. The results have not been there. So, we'll see. So, that's kind of like my week in review, or my start of the season in review. I normally do a week in review episode pretty much every week. Time and everything hasn't been on my side the last few days, so I'm getting it in now. So, the Pirates have shown some good stuff, shown some other things. These are the Pirates. It's not the best team. Are they a 500 team? Probably not in the long run. Could they be? Maybe. But probably not. It's nice to see them play. It's fun to watch them play when they're playing well. They got a bunch of scrappy guys. If only they could turn it around. Get some guys to come alive. Get the guys that have always been highly touted to take steps forward. Like I mentioned, Mitch Keller, Kevin Newman, Cole Tucker. Any of those guys. We're seeing it out of Hayes. Reynolds is Reynolds. Chavis is interesting, but early end of the season, it's been a fun 2 weeks, I guess, almost 2 weeks, so we'll see how we are as the weeks go by. But I want to thank everybody for listening. I appreciate it. Check me out on social media at Bucko Fever Pod on Twitter. I'm active on Twitter. Pretty much anytime there's games going on, I'm on there. If you want to talk or whatever, I'm there. If you want to check me out on Facebook, Bucko Fever Podcast, and of course, BuckoFeverPodcast.com, where, there will be some posts as I move forward with the season and everything. So, again, appreciate everybody listening. And as always, have a good one.